Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, on this day of 9/11, September 11th, 2016, most of us remember what happened 15 years ago when Muslims, and what kind of Muslims were they? They were simply Muslims who were being faithful to the Quran. We can call them radical Muslims, but they were simply being faithful to the Quran. Now, what did they do? They ended up attacking our nation. They killed 2,996 people. They injured over 6,000 others. What happened on that day then as a result? Many people were in fear, wondering what's going to happen next. Many people were also angry, saying, what do we need to do? How can we strike back at them? Those are natural reactions to have because of the events of that day. But what reactions would be in agreement with the Bible? What reactions would be pleasing to God? Regarding fear, the Bible says that we should not fear a single person. We should fear only God. Why is that so? Jesus told us in Matthew 10, he said, fear only God, because only he is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. People can take our lives. They cannot destroy us forever and ever. Regarding anger, we should respect the word of the Lord. In Romans 12, he said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So it's not ours to take vengeance. But how does he take vengeance? So, according to Romans chapter 13, governments are established by God. They are sustained by God. They are the servants of God. So God says, I work through established governments to commend those who do well and to punish those who do evil. So we're not to take things into our own hands, but rather we are to let God do his work through our government to take the appropriate action. Through knowing Jesus Christ, God wants us to not be afraid of people, and God wants us to not live in anger. Instead, he wants us to forgive as we have been forgiven. So a very short and simple statement, forgive as we have been forgiven, but very important, though, that we begin to think that through and say, how has God forgiven me? And as we understand that more and more, then we will know how God is calling us and empowering us to forgive others. And then God wants us to take the truth of his word about sin and salvation and to share that with other people. He wants us to share that truth with family members, with the guy next door, with people we work with people of every skin color, and even with people who are Muslims faithful to the Quran, if given the opportunity even to share God's truth with them. With all those different people, by the power of God, he can open their eyes. He can bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. In the sermon today, we're going to begin by looking at the foolishness of the gospel. We're going to go and look at some reasons why people need to repent today based on a recent Pew Research poll. And then we're going to take a look at a document called Pascal's Wager. Maybe some of you are familiar with that from about 300 years ago. First of all, the foolishness of the gospel. So when we think about the comparison between foolishness and wisdom, the key place to go in the Bible is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So if we hone in on verse 18, it says, for the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Let's think about that a little bit more carefully. So the word of the cross, that means the preaching of Jesus Christ, that God sent his son, that he took on human flesh, that he lived in our place, that he died on a cross, that he took our punishment, that he laid down his life, and so on. So that is the word of the cross. The Bible says the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. So anyone who is currently rejecting Jesus Christ as Savior, they would look at us and say, you guys are foolish. Why are you gathering at that church? Why are you looking at this Jewish man who died 2,000 years ago? What does that mean? That's utter foolishness. They just don't get it. They don't understand it. But the verse goes on and says, but to us who are being saved, to us who have been given the gift of faith by which we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and we're seeking in our lives to honor him as Lord, for us, the word of the cross is the power of God. What's going on there, though? It really is foolishness in a sense, so why do we believe it? We don't believe it because it makes sense necessarily, but we believe it because God has taken action through baptism and through the Bible in order to give us that gift of faith by which we trust in Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, going later on in the chapter, it says, but by his doing, in other words, but by God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus. So for any of us today who know Jesus Christ, that is God's doing. We should greatly rejoice in what God has done for us. Even as we gather here today, what is the idea? We are hearing the word of God. We are going to receive the bread, wine, body, and blood. And we are doing such things because God is feeding us. God is growing us up. God is equipping us. God is assuring us that in Christ we are forgiven. In Christ we are his holy children. And in Christ, come whatever in this life, it's going to be okay. And when the end of life comes, God's taking us home. So we have great joy now in knowing Jesus Christ. Why is it, though, that some people need to repent? Looking at this recent Pew Research poll, it had a section, and people gave the reasons why they no longer believe. These are people who did believe, who grew up in churches, but now they no longer believe. Let me give you two reasons that they stated. Number one, they no longer believe because they learned about evolution when they went to college. So a very sad thing. You have parents, well-intentioned parents, they're saving, sacrificing. They want their children to go to college. They send them off, believers, and they come home no longer believing. What a sad thing. But what have they really done, though? As they were in church, the pastor was saying, this book is the word of God. This book is true. Never let anything in the world overcome the truth of this book. But then they went off to college. The professors seemed smarter than their pastor. And they thought, they're teaching something that is much different than this book. They seem like they know more than my pastor does. I'm going to go with what they're saying. I'm going to cancel out what this book says. Now I believe in evolution. Now I believe there is no God. Now I believe there is no eternity. That's where I am. That happens to many, many people. So it's so important that as children are growing up, they are grounded, even like the confirmation vows, they are grounded even as a teenager to say, even if someone comes and wants to take my very life because I believe in Jesus Christ, I would rather have them take my life than have them take away my Lord Jesus Christ and leave me without salvation. But this is important, though, for the church you attend and the family in which you live to be able to instill this within you. And by the power of God, we can stand up against anything. Also, in the recent Pew Research poll, many people said they don't believe because too many Christians do unchristian things. Too many Christians do unchristian things. You guys are Christians, right? I am too. Have you ever done an unchristian thing? Come on, you got to all get your hands up there. We're all sinners. I'll get up both hands even. So God wants us to know we've all fallen short. We've done things we shouldn't have done. And the problem is, if on one hand we're proclaiming that we follow Christ, and then people hear us say something that is not becoming of Christ, or they see us do something that doesn't fit in with being a Christian, that can push them away from Christ. Never a good thing. I think about this one story. There were a couple guys working in an office environment, And the one man was a Christian, the one man wasn't. And the Christian man, he kept trying to talk to this co-worker about Christ. And the co-worker was kind of keeping at arm's length a little bit. And finally, the co-worker got to the point where he thought, okay, I'm ready to hear what this guy has to say about the Bible and Jesus Christ. So the co-worker is just opening the door into the man's office. And just as he's doing so, the man has a little box of paper clips in his hand, and he's slipping them into his coat pocket. And as soon as the other man saw it, right away he eases the door shut, and he goes the other way and says, I thought that man was true to his faith. I can see he's a hypocrite too. Look, he's stealing from the company, taking home those paper clips. Well, it's a minor thing, but even something like that can push a person away from Jesus Christ. God wants us to be careful in how we live as representatives of Christ. Going further in this research poll, it said that some people don't like organized religion, and they gave two reasons. Number one, it's a business. Number two, it's all about money. Well, in some ways, we operate a little bit like a business, and we do need money to be able to have the lights on and such, but we always want to make the focus, so on our need for Jesus Christ. If we ever get away from that, please make that known so we can get back on track in a proper way. Also, too, in this poll, they polled some people who were inactive Christians. So they used to attend a church regular, now they're no longer attending. And why did they say that's true? They said they don't have time to go to church. Well, I can imagine that because we live in a very busy world. But yet, if we don't have time to gather in the presence of God and receive the gifts of God, definitely we're too busy. Definitely we need some kind of a shift in our lives when there's some kind of a call there needed for repentance. As I think about the different reasons I shared with you, a lot of people would say those are legitimate reasons, but as I think about the reasons I just shared, and I think about what the Bible says, if people try to stand before God on the last day and give any of those reasons, I don't think they're going to carry any weight with God. Those are not going to be legitimate in the sight of God. We shouldn't try to make them legitimate for us either. Finally, going to the last part of the sermon, which is the main part of it, we're going to focus on something called Pascal's Wager. And what I'm doing here is basing it on this resource that we put together here at Bethlehem recently. So maybe you picked up a card on your way in. If not, there are a whole bunch of them in the narthex. Please help yourself. But we'll look at the front, we'll look at the inside of it, and then I'll just briefly refer to the back of it. So let's do that now. You can see the title there is called Ever Thought About This? So the idea is that you might leave it at a restaurant, you might hand it to a friend, you might leave it in a store, but you want somebody to see it and say, oh, what are they talking about? Ever thought about what? So hopefully that will draw them in. As you look at the front of the card, and you can see the card laid out there right in your service folder, but it's talking about a man named Pascal, who was a 17th century French philosopher, mathematician, and physicist. And really what he does in this one particular writing of his called Pensées, he's really taking a logical look at eternity. So thinking about heaven and hell, either they do exist or they do not exist. Thinking about faith in Jesus Christ, either a person does believe in Jesus Christ or a person does not believe in Jesus Christ. So thinking about those four realities, we put them into four categories. So getting to the inside of the card, we're looking at that top section then. Now if you look at it overall, it's color-coded if you look at the card. And with the first two categories, that is where hell and heaven do not exist. In the second two categories, heaven and hell do exist. And then looking at category 1 and 3, those are people who have no faith in Jesus Christ. Categories 2 and 4 are places where people do have faith in Jesus Christ. So that's an overall look at it, but let's look at it a little bit more carefully then. So if you're in category 1, what that means is that in reality, heaven and hell do not exist, and you have no faith in Jesus Christ. So who would be in such a category? That would be the perfect category for an atheist. That's the category that they would fit into. So going through life, they take the attitude, hey, there's no God, there's no eternity, I can do whatever I want, and in the end, I'm just going to die and that'll be it, because there is no heaven, there is no hell, there are no eternal consequences. So that would be their category, number one. Number two, then, that's a category where heaven and hell, in fact, do not exist, but yet someone has maybe read the Bible, they heard about Jesus, and they have their faith in Jesus Christ. So as they proceed through life then, they come to a Y in the road, and I could go off to the right and honor God in my life, I could go off to the left and do what I want to do, and yet because a person has faith in Jesus, they choose to go off to the right and honor their Lord, so they end up not falling into some sin. But does it matter in the end? It doesn't, because there in fact is no heaven or hell. There is no eternity. So even though they tried to honor Christ in their life, it doesn't matter, because there's nothing after death. Category number three, though, here is where we're getting close to the Bible, because heaven and hell do exist. The Bible is clear about that. And also in category three, though, this is a person who has rejected Jesus Christ as Savior. So a person like that, they might take the attitude and say, you know, based on how I look at life, I'm going to be my own person. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to let any God or any book or anything stop me. I'm going to indulge in sin. If I want to kill my baby, I'm going to kill my baby. If I want to murder my next door neighbor, I'm going to murder my next door neighbor. If I want to cheat my employer, I'm going to cheat my employer. I'm going to do whatever I want. I don't care. That's my attitude. For such a person, in category number three, he could live any way he wants to live. But in the end, though, if he continues without repentance, God will send him to a horrible place forever and ever. And then in category number four, again, we're talking about the Bible, because again, heaven and hell do exist. But we're talking about someone, though, that by the grace of God, through holy baptism, working through the Bible, God has brought them to faith in Jesus Christ. So they know there's an eternity coming, but by God's grace, they are trusting in the very Son of God and in all he did to take away their sins. So as they go through life, they are trying to honor the one who lived and died for them. But they know, though, that when they finally breathe their last, they know that God will welcome them into heaven. Not because they're good people, but because they know the way, the truth, and the life. They have a relationship with the one way to heaven, Jesus Christ. Because of that relationship, they know they will be welcomed in. So what do you think your category is? I sure hope and pray that every one of us are solidly rooted in category number four. But we probably know people that are in the other categories, though. So just looking at it from pure logic, I hope you can see that it's a no-brainer. We want to be in category four. But let's turn, though, to Pascal for a few minutes and consider some of the things he wrote in this writing of his called Penses. And I want to quote some things from that article. He wrote, God is or he is not. So God is or he is not. And then he asks the question, what will you wager? What will you bet? What will you gamble? What will you risk on this question as to whether God is or whether God is not? Then to put the wager in the proper perspective, Pascal wrote, if you gain all. If you lose nothing. In other words, if heaven and hell do exist and you trust in Jesus, hey, you've hit the jackpot, you gain the whole thing. But if heaven and hell do not exist and you went through your life trusting in Jesus Christ, what do you lose? You lose nothing. He's looking at it from a very logical perspective. He wants us to see it's a no-brainer to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Then going further, when considering what to wager, Pascal wrote, is there no means of seeing the faces of the cards? So imagine you're playing cards with a group of people and you have to put some kind of a wager on the table and you can see your cards, but you don't know what everyone else has. If you knew what everyone else had, it would be pretty easy to wager. So he asks the question again, is there no means of seeing the faces of the cards? And then he answers his own question by saying, yes, Scripture. That's the answer. That's how we see the cards, by looking into the Scriptures. So the Scriptures are the place where God shows us the truth. Furthermore, when we get into the Scriptures, that is the means through which God is working in order to enable a person who does not know Jesus Christ to come in to that relationship with Jesus Christ. So the Scriptures are so important in so many ways. And then finally, Pascal wrote of the benefits of knowing Jesus. Think about what he wrote here. You will be faithful, humble, grateful, generous, a sincere friend, and truthful. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to be? Hey, we know Jesus Christ. We have the promise of heaven. We are faithful in what we do, humble in how we approach other people, grateful for all of our blessings, generous in giving and helping other people, a sincere friend, truthful and honest in every way. Those are wonderful things. Pascal is saying, when we know Jesus Christ, those things will result in our lives. Finally, he wrote, you will see so great certainty of gain, so much nothingness in what you risk, that you will at last recognize that you have wagered for something certain and infinite for which you have given nothing. Let me put it in a more practical perspective. I'm not a person that goes to, let's say, Las Vegas or even the casino downtown, but I'm not saying that you can't do that, but if you do, be careful, because you can get into trouble with those kinds of things. But imagine, though, that if, whether you went downtown or to another state, if you could go up to a table and the rules worked like this, that you could wager whatever you wanted to wager, and if the roll of the dice came up for you or the cards came up for you, that meant that you won the entire table, you won the jackpot. But if the cards did not come up for you or the dice did not roll your way, then you lost nothing. If that was the case, all of you, and maybe myself included, we would be taking our entire life savings, we would be going there, and we'd be playing every round, because there's no losing. In other words, if it doesn't go your way, you lose nothing. If it does go your way, you gain everything. Wouldn't that be a good way to proceed? Pascal is trying to say, in a logical sense, when it comes to eternity, that's how it works. That when we know Jesus Christ, we are really in a win-win situation. There's no way we can lose. So anyone who rejects Jesus Christ, they're being foolish about it. They're not being logical about it. I know this is a little bit different the way we approach things today, but God wants us to see, though, that there really is a logical approach to the Word of God. Going to the bottom of the inside of the card, it does ask what your category is, so we're hoping that people will look at the categories, understand what they mean, and think it through. And then we have the message. According to the Bible, which is God's holy word, God created, all people sinned, and heaven and hell are real. So what is the conclusion here? The conclusion is all people are in desperate need of Jesus Christ. Because that is true, because God loves us, because God has made the way in Christ, what is he doing? He's calling all people to repent. That means to be sorry for their sins, to believe in Jesus as Savior, to seek to honor him as Lord, and so on. If people aren't quite sure what to do, we invite them to come, join us here at Bethlehem, check out our website, listen to our podcast, ask more questions. But as they get into the truth of God, God will give them that gift of faith. God will make them his very own. God will bless them forever and ever. In today's world, I'm guessing that there are a lot of people that do not currently know Jesus Christ as Savior. So as we think about that reality, let us be so thankful that we know him. May that fill us with great joy. May that make us very thankful people, because God has worked in our lives. God has made us his holy children. Heaven is certain because of Jesus Christ. So knowing such things, may God equip us with some cards like this or something similar, and may God help us to truly care about the other ones who are caught in some kind of deception. Somehow they believe evolution. or they don't have time for God, or they think the church is a business, or whatever it might be, people are using faulty excuses. People are being deceived in various ways. Let's love them. Let's pray for them. Let's share God's truth with them so that God might work in their lives and God might bring them to the knowledge of the truth, bring them to faith in Jesus Christ, and we can rejoice with them now and we can rejoice with them forever and ever. Please join me in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for our trust in Jesus. You have given us that faith. Move us from today forward that we would truly share the good news with others in some way, and may you work through that sharing, make it effective, and bring many to know Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.